morning.
Good morning.
This morning, I would like to start with a famous Korean poem. Don't worry, it's not in Korean. I wrote the translator. Let me read this poem for you. The title of this poem is Flower. Flower, Kim Chun-sik. Until I called his name, he had been no more than a mere gesture. When I called his name, he came to me and became a flower. Now call my name, while feeling my color and my scent, as I called his name so that I may go to him and become his flower. We all wish to become something, you to me and I to you. Wish to become an unforgettable moment. As the poet said in this poem, calling causes an intimate relationship. It is found in the Bible and church history that God has called many people for his glory. One of the examples is Apostle Paul. When the Lord called Saul and named him Paul, Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Paul, who was called, replied, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew the one who called him was not just a sound, and asked who he was. In response, the conversation began, and the Lord answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Because of this meeting, the new life began, in which Saul was changed to Paul. When God called his people, he regarded his intimate friendship with them more important than their abilities. Instead, God wanted them to be holy. This desire of God is also valid for us who are called. So I chose the title of today as God is calling you to holiness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for calling us today. You are holy, 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 and you are awesome in this place. I ask you to shine the light of truth, light of holiness upon us. Please help us to understand and listen to what Holy Spirit speaks to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When I ministered in South Korea, one day I woke up 4 a.m. to go to church before 5 a.m. You might know that Korean churches are famous for dawn prayer meeting. So that day, I had to go to church early. I put on my clothes without turning on the light because I didn't want to wake my wife. I thought there was nothing wrong until I arrived at the church. When I came into the church, the room light brightened me. Then I could see that the color of my suit, the jacket, and pants was different, black and gray. I thought I could not all black, but it was different. It was not too bad, but not good. Like my example, we tend to misunderstand ourselves. But when we stand before the light of God, light of Holy God, we can see our reality different from what we thought. We often forget that we are sinners. When the Lord called us and we stand before Him, we become aware that there are a lot of sins and unfaithfulness in us. When God calls us, it does not consider our social status or situation. Look at the disciples Jesus called. They were not a class of respectable people. They were fishermen, tax collectors who worked for Roman occupation, and a former rebel who fought against Roman occupation, and so on. Even Saul was a persecutor, right? How about us? Are we here because we are noble and excellent? No one can confidently say yes. Only God knows the reason we were called. We don't need to pay attention to why God called us. That's not our business. That's God's business. What we focus on is what God wanted from us when He called us. To know it, we must first know who God is. God is holy. He is pure. He is good. He is righteous. He has no sin and He has sin. He is awesome, wise in heart, and mighty in strength, right? This holy and perfect God called me and you full of sins, even though God could work for Himself, for His glory, or He could call His angels. Because the holy God wanted to have a relationship with you and deep fellowship. For this relationship, God created you and saved you from sin through His begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He paid the punishment for our sins. In result, we can worship here and now. And He called you again to share His amazing plan for His glory and for your happiness. How will you respond to this amazing invitation? Just, oh, thank you. Can you say that? No way. We do not deserve to say that. It is truly important to know the holiness of God before experiencing the goodness of God. There is someone who expressed himself like this: I am worse than a worm. It sounds sort of weird, but listen to his saying. A worm does not proclaim the name of God. A worm does not make the grace of God to be in vain. A worm does not commit sin against God. The sad realization of being worse than a worm is that grace is exclusively given to those who are called by God. This is a secret revealed only by the grace of God. This is a secret that is experienced only by the grace of God. This is a secret that can be spoken of only by the grace of God. This is a secret that one can contain in his heart only by the grace of God. Also, Apostle Paul spoke this secret. Through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8 to 10, he said, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not made to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not, I got the grace of God, which was with me. Everyone who has met God has responded in a certain way, without exception. Is, I am a sinner. I am to die. Prophet Isaiah, when he met the Lord, he said, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, I owe his name, for I am undone, because I am a man of uncleanness, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. After Isaiah, who did not have any serious thought, met God, he came to know that his lips were unclean, and realized that he was ruined because of his uncleanness. He says that his lips were unclean. James chapter 3, second verse says, anyone who is never accorded in what they say is perfect. Isaiah became known that his imperfection before God made him realize his ruined state. Peter's reaction to Jesus was the same. Luke chapter 5, verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw his glory, he fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He who fears the glory of God always fears his sin. I also have experience this. I and my family started to go to church since I was 3 years old. The church was part of my life. I had a very religious life, although I was young. To me, God was just good. I thought God should be on my side all the time. I used to speak these three sentences. Thank God, I love you God, and I'm so happy for you. I think I was just satisfied with my religious life. I was not interested in the fear of God, holiness, intimate friendship with God, anything. I was totally missing. Thankfully, God came to me personally and called me when I was 12 years old. I cannot forget the time I experienced God's majesty and his glory for the first time. Now, I want to ask you, what is your response when God calls you? When the Holy God calls you, he says, be holy, for I am holy. Once we have been called in his glory and holiness, we realize how miserable we are as sinners. But that's not all. Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he disciplines us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. But we need to be careful to not confuse our job with our calling. While for some, the two are intertwined, think of pastor, let me, callings often encompass broader lands like society, family, and church. According to Gene Faith, he said, someone may no longer be in the workplace, but he may still pursue callings as a grandfather, a concerned citizen, and perhaps as an elder in his church. Some people find their calling in spheres other than the workplace. A woman who refuses a job so she can devote herself to her children. The independently wealthy man who does not need to work, so he devotes himself as a citizen to philanthropy. The elderly shut-in who devotes her energy as a Christian to prayer. So we need to share in his holiness, not only in our church, but also our home, school, workplace, community, and everywhere God is working with us. I have had a good study of God's character with my friends before. One of them defined holiness as follows. Holiness means the most perfect faithfulness, the most transparent truth, and the most soulful honesty. It means that all words you say are perfectly true. You do not flatter. You do not slander. You do not give a false impression. And you are always consistent in business, in your faith, or in your home. You try to match your thought to God's will. It means that you give it to others as long as you want others to do it to you, and defaults to the cleanest innocence. Truthfully speaking, none of us have ability to live this perfect holy life. But I know the only one who lives perfect holy life. He gave himself to God without fault. He is holy, he is good, and he has no sin. He is a lamb without blemish or defect. Who is he? He is our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you invite the Holy Jesus into your life? When you read the Bible, when you pray, when you serve others, the Holy Lord who calls you, will lead you, you know, holiness. Let's pray. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Holy God, thank you for calling us. Thank you for being our Holy Father. Please help us to remember what you command us. Be holy, for I am holy. Thank you for your everlasting mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.